Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Corey is in the middle of a conversation and said, I have to go do the show. I'll get back to you. Right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. It is our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Good morning, sir.
Glad Corey made me a priority, right?
That's true. That's true. Always, Mick. Always.
I love the way I got to go do the show as if it just started.
It was
too.
Your boss, though.
That's like, okay. I was just sitting here going, I got to turn my mic on.
Yeah, your timing these last 3 days has been absolutely impeccable. Now,
lucky.
There are a lot of, I accept. There are a lot of things to break down in this game, but I wanted to start with this. The Cowboys desperately needed someone to step up in the passing game, and it felt like Ryan Flannoy was as good as anyone could have conceivably hoped for, and probably even better than that.
And out of nowhere, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Second start in his career, first start of the season, and for him to, and I don't know if maybe the Jets didn't think about him, but for some reason, the ball kept going his way. So my assumption was, well, they're making sure Pickens doesn't get a lot of one-on-one coverage, right? They're probably got a safety over the top. And I'm thinking, well, Dak's just going through his reads. And it's like, well, it says to go to Flannoy. And, you know, you got to trust him, right? Because, and he did. And the guy makes that deep catch, and it wasn't easy because the ball was short and he had to come back and get in front of the DB and then break away. It was absolutely an amazing deal that four catches at, 114 yards,
right,
set up the one touchdown and showed that, yeah, you can trust him. Well, the other thing is he can't do what he did. Dak can't do what he did. Javonte Williams can't do what he did unless four backup offensive linemen play their ass off.
Agreed.
Are you kidding me? When have you ever seen that?
No, even Schottenheimer was like, I do not recall an instance like this ever.
That was a recipe for disaster, right?
Agreed.
And thinking that, you know, this Jets, you know, the defense had played decently in those first four games, although they didn't win. But they stood in there. Cowboys rushed for 180 yards with 4/5 of the our backups on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And then Terrence Steele. Last week, Nate Thomas played his first 17 snaps since 2023 in a game when he was at Louisiana. And then he starts, right? Adeniji starts his first game for the Cowboys. Now, he had some experience in his previous starts. Hoffman, the third start at center this year. Bash, his second. And it just kept coming again and again and again. And to me, that was a story of the game, that they didn't create a disaster up front and actually played well. You guys know all the numbers. Javonte Williams, 135 yards rushing. The team, 5 straight since 2016. That's the last time they had that many 100-yard performances. And that was 15, all but one game, right?
Yeah, and that was incredible. And we talked about that season being the season that, regardless of the scenario, it felt like Zeke was going to get the yards.
Yeah, yeah. And this is a guy that, you know, most people – and no fault of their own, that weren't at training camp or watching him in the offseason, it was like, okay, Javonte Williams, right? They weren't expecting much from him. And, you know, we kind of saw a little bit of a spark, and now we've seen it game after game after game. And, you know, the 66-yard run, I mean, he had to break. There was a hole there. He shot through, and then he had to break a couple tackles to keep going.
Corey is disappointed in that run.
Yeah, but you know what, Corey? I heard that. But I was thinking, and I don't know if this, because I'm sure he's trying to score, right?
Yeah.
But he had the foresight to get out of bounds because they were out of timeouts. And think about it. If he goes down at the one inbounds, do you think they're going to get 10 guys downfield in time before the clock runs
absolutely
out?
Absolutely not, yeah.
I always worry about the false start on that everyone's running, trying to get into place when they snap the ball.
And so I think it stopped with 19 seconds, if I remember correctly. But can they have all got down there in time at 18 seconds to spike it? I mean, you're talking five offensive linemen got to go.
Wouldn't have had to worry about it if he got in the end zone.
Oh, well, right.
No, it's great to watch what he's doing. And at the efficiency that he's doing it at too,
like it's unbelievable.
It's a big number, and I think it's a lot of what you just pointed out. The scheme that Clayton Adams and Connor Riley and Schottenheimer are putting together, in addition to the fact that you have an offensive line that's patchwork together and giving him the space and the holes to run through, and then he does the physical part of taking advantage of the next level. I'm loving everything he's doing right
and
now.
And on that run, it was Thomas and Hoffman had a lot to do with clearing the hole that he eventually shot through, right? On Pickens' touchdown, Dak, I went back and looked, pretty accurate. He had 4 seconds to get that ball off. So that's not common, right?
Yeah.
And not only do you have to have time to get it off, right, but you got to have time to look and see, okay, I got to make this decision. I can throw this pass, right? And you know, those guys kind of hung in there. And even on Flannoy's catch, 3-point-some seconds to get the ball off. So those guys were holding up for him to throw 4 touchdown passes. I just thought it was incredible. I wrote about it on Friday, and I was like, okay, if you got to worry, here's the worry, right? But previously, they finished with 3 of those guys in the game. They scored 40 against the Packers, and now you add one more. And I was thinking, this is why. And I remember this conversation I had with Brian Schottenheimer when the assistant coaches had their first interviews back in, I guess it was late February, early March. And Clayton Adams is an offensive line coach who they named offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he made his bones in the NFL as a offensive line coach. And then they doubled down hiring Connor Riley as the offensive line coach. They kept Ramon Chinyon as the assistant. So they intentionally put emphasis on coaching that offensive line, and I think we're seeing the fruition of their efforts to say, hey, this offensive line and running the football is a priority, and it's working. So credit to those guys. And I know what they'll say, and I know what Shoddy said. Hey, it's the players, right? But somebody had those guys ready to play. Mm-hmm. That just doesn't happen. One of you made the point that it's hard to find 5 starters in the NFL on a team. And even if you find 7 or 8 guys that can play, normally – 1 at a time, maybe 2, but not 4 all at the same time and play at that level. I just thought it was one of the more credible things I've seen. And I know it was the Jets, and I know they're 0-5, but they, you know, that defense, everybody was worried about Quinnen Williams ruining the offense. He had 3 tackles. You barely heard his name. Those guys, that was one of the more, I think Schottenheimer called it unique. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, they had every excuse to scrub it up and be like, oh, well, I mean, we were missing all these guys. Every single excuse, and they were like, no, that's not going to work for us.
And they ended up with 416 yards offense. I mean, it was amazing to me.
Well, and I know the focus is on this game, but let me ask y'all both something then. One of the potential positives in sports that can come from injury is you can get a better sense of what you do or do not have. Now, hopefully everything gets back to normal and you're super healthy the rest of the year, but it's also football. How encouraging is this for y'all in terms of your sense of offensive line depth? Because I don't want to have to continue to go through this, but I am unreasonably more confident than I would have been otherwise.
That's how confident I am.
No, yeah. and if something happens, you know, because the big thing is the quarterback's got to trust it, right?
Sure.
Because a lot of times you go in there and you got a bunch of backups and, you know, their head is looking around like, okay, I got better watch over here, right? And he just stepped up and played and went to receivers that, you know, he barely had used. And the tight end now, 3 touchdown catches in 2 games. And then, you know, so yeah, and I thought Dak, you know, he talked about it afterwards saying that, you know, when he was trying to motivate those guys, he goes, hey, here's how I got my start. There were injuries yes. and I had to step up and play. And that's how I got my starting job. So he said, hey, just, you know, cut it loose. And I thought it was also, you know, kind of indicative of where they're at. Nate Thomas, again, his first start. In the NFL, with 17 snaps of experience, went up to he said he came up to me afterwards and apologized. He said, "Dak, I can do better."
Ooh.
And it's like, "Oh, okay," because you did pretty good.
And by the way, did you see Dak's response to that?
Yeah,
he goes, "I know that you will."
Yeah,
like I like that.
And you know, so they just had guys come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden they kind of came together. And look, those 4 guys had never played in a game together unless it was preseason, maybe, right? And so, and I was watching Thomas, and I thought he was awfully good.
Yeah,
he didn't get overwhelmed, he didn't get intimidated. He kind of hung in there.
Does there need to be a standing role for him then?
Well, maybe. I mean, if you think about the previous game, you know, they were giving him first team snaps, and it was at right tackle, and their intention was to give him a series or two in place of Steele. And so he got his first series, and then Guyton has the concussion, and now he's got to go from right tackle to left tackle where he wasn't practiced in training camp there. And goes in and finishes the game and now gets his first start out of nowhere playing at Louisiana? Seriously? And I had Clayton Adams tell me, I think it was before the season started, I asked him about him, and he said, this guy's going to be really good. And so, well, maybe he's going to be, and Guyton better keep an eye on himself.
The defensive side of the ball, Mickey.
Yeah.
They were able to get pressure. This James Houston kid, not a lot of people knew anything about him.
We did it!
You did! Boy, you guys had it pegged.
They did a really good job yesterday of getting the pressure they needed to make Justin Fields uncomfortable, but then also actually getting to the quarterback, too.
Yeah, and they used a few blitzes that they hadn't been doing. They took advantage of the rookie at right tackle, Membo.
Yeah.
Sorry to say University of Missouri guy, first round draft choice, but he struggled mightily,
whoops.
Right?
Yeah.
Dante Fowler really took advantage of him, his inexperience. But yeah, and it was like, well, where did this come from? Well, I don't know if it was because, I mean, for the majority of that first half, I think, I mean, they were playing man in the secondary. They didn't play as much zone until they got up 30-6 or
yep.
whatever. And then I got to ask, but I think they were playing the clock in the fourth quarter. Like, we're going to make sure we're going back to zone, keep everything in front of us. And if they're going to score, they're going to have to go, you know, 80 yards in 5 or 6 minutes. We're not giving up a big play. And I think that led to maybe those 2 drives for touchdowns that you know, really wish you hadn't done. But again, they ended up milking the clock and recovering onside kick. So it kind of worked in the end. But that's where the Jets got all their yards. But they had done a really good job. Now, I don't know if they sacrificed getting pressure for not playing the run as well.
It kind of feels like that.
I was going to ask Steven about that a little later today, too, because Breece Hall had a pretty good game.
Yeah, no, big runs.
Yeah.
And so, but again, you had a lot of young guys at linebacker. Sanborn goes out with the concussion, so now you're out there with Murray, Leafau, and Shamir James. But good. Play James. The guy's got so much athletic ability. I know he was only a fifth-round draft choice, but this kid's got some talent, and he's got some speed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you said that, because Shoddy has talked about having a violent defense. Sam Williams echoed that at training camp. In addition to all the tackles that you just mentioned, did it not look like Shamir James enjoys some defensive violence?
Yes. Yes. And Leafau.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? So, yeah, get those guys out there. Get them going. And so now, can you do it again? It can't be, you know, one-hit wonders. You got to have consistency. But, you know, they finally gave up only 22 points. I mean, that's a significant improvement. Don't worry about the yards, I guess. They were actually making plays when they needed to make plays, and that's part of playing defense.
Mickey, can you just tell Corey to shut up? I know he didn't say anything, but he just gave me this look again because he wants them to finish the deal, and I want him to shut up. If you could just help me with that.
I just feel like they can still be better, and that's what they're working on, and I'm proud of them.
Well, here's another thing. It looked like Trayvon Diggs was comfortable playing football again.
That's good.
Deron Bland, you know, after missing his two games, played last week. He looked like he was more comfortable. And I think it made a difference somewhat in the secondary that you could put both guys on the outside. And Reddy Stewart has been playing well in the nickel. And then later on, they brought in Elam and Diggs on the outside, and Bland went inside. In the slot on the nickel. And so they were able to kind of mix it up and change things out. So at least they didn't give up 40 points or 38 points or 37 points. It was 22, and I'm sure that surprised everybody. And I know it was the Jets. I know it was Fields. But he nearly beat the Cowboys last year at Pittsburgh, right? They were up 17-13 going into the final minutes of the game.
Well, excellent stuff as always, good sir. We will talk with you tomorrow, and we'll try to rein Corey in then.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Just remember that them backups played their butts off.
Heck yeah,
as long as you remember that first-round pick for the Jets went to Missouri.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there you go. Thank you very much,
Mike. Right.
Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com.
And Adeniji went to Garland, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Big day for Brandon. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus how not to celebrate winning the lottery. Next on The Fan.
First down and 10 at the Dallas 23. I formation. Fields will give it a hole. Huge hole on the left side. 15, 10, 8. Fumble! Who got it? Dallas got it. Dallas said they got it.
They got it.
How about that?
I love that call. Also, what I love about that, Alec, I don't know if this is the same vibe you got, is Brad Sham is resigned to the fact that it's going to be a touchdown. The way he's like, 15, 10, oh, it's a fumble. They say we got it. They did get it. Right now, we're celebrating Cowboys Victory Monday. We always celebrate when it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. 877-881-1053, the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, I'm going to tell you every way not to celebrate winning the lottery.
Before you get to that story, can I ask you about that? Have you ever thought about for too long how you would or would not celebrate a lottery victory?
Absolutely. Every time the Powerball gets up north of like 500 million, me and my dad start recklessly speculating about the things we would do. Like every single time. And then half the time, we don't even buy a ticket. You know, it's just fun. It's just fun to be like, yeah, I would do this, but it's not going to happen. So
are your lottery dreams, I promise this will be my last question probably, are your lottery dreams big picture purchases or how to like spite people that you don't like or do lower tier things?
I like both POVs, but I'm more like big picture.
Okay.
And it's not going to be a bunch of immediate stuff. I'm pretty tame with my money. I know Reggie and KG like to say that I'm not because I like to go to events.
True.
You know, God forbid a man has fun every now and then. But speaking of that, I'll be at Monday Night Raw tonight at the American Airlines Center. So Section 117 is where I'm going to be hanging out if you're going to be out there. You know, not to steal somebody else's bit. But if you see me, beer me. I'll be there. Be hanging out, having a good time. But yeah, I'm more of a big picture guy when it comes to the lottery. Thinking about like, ooh, I could get into the real estate market.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Because just every now and again, I'm like, if you just took $2 million to dedicate to making like someone's life miserable for revenge purposes, you could.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I would be in the real estate market too.
Okay.
Flying over that one spot in the middle of the ocean and dropping a rock one at a time to build my island.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate.
You'd have a lot of time and a lot of assets to make that happen, Corey.
Thank you. See? Kevin's always acting like that's a ridiculous plan, but you just pointed out the truth.
You know what I would do? First thing I would do, I would call Bobby Lashley and get his financial advice because he's a wizard with money. Yeah.
And a suit guy.
Exactly, yes. I'm going to be living lavish. But the question of the day today, gentlemen, look at the national day calendar, and it's National Coaches Day. National Coaches Day. Mm. So I want to know, what is the best coaching you ever got? And if you weren't ever coached, if you weren't a sports person growing up or in your current life, what's the best advice you've ever gotten? 877-881-1053.
Best coach I ever had, this fella named Ray, because he knew my personality well enough to know how to motivate me. And one of the ways he would motivate me was by saying my last name wrong, especially when we were running and doing stuff like that. He's like, come on, Hagaland, let's get it going. And it would piss me off so much every time that I would pick up the pace, and he knew it worked, and it worked on me every single time. So he figured out the specific way to connect with me. Now, was it through negative means? Yes, but that's what I needed.
That's pretty impressive.
Every
just
time,
by saying your name wrong,
come on,
you
Hagaland,
so
pick it up.
Maybe that's what all those other coaches that we used to cover in high school were doing. They were just trying to motivate you when they'd be like, hey, you tell Hoagland. You tell Hoagland I told him not to pick against us.
Isn't that what your Amazon Alexa called Kevin?
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin Hoagland.
Seems like it had a decent breakdown except for my last
name. Kevin is very motivated by Alexa.
Yeah.
So I did have a coach that I loved. Like whenever I was very young in baseball, fifth grade, I want to say, something like that. He was a great coach. He was just a dude that was like, he decided to coach a baseball team, didn't know any of the kids, just wanted to coach, and spent his time. He was young, like 26 or something like that. He was awesome. Like just a really good coach.
Although, did you think he was young at the time?
Yes,
okay.
I did, because he was cool. You know what I mean?
Because sometimes I wonder if we have perceptions of people that were super old and you're like, that person was 31.
I have a friend whose parents right now, like they're in their 70s. And when I met him, they were old. And I'm like, how are they still the same? Because they were old 30 years ago. And now they're 70, like they're old now. So I get it. But I threw like a no-hitter And I was on my way to a second one, and he pulled me out because he thought I said I was tired. And I was like, no, I can keep going. And so and then we gave up the no-hitter. Anyway, difference. He was great. But, yeah, I'll give my high school baseball coach, Coach Knight, Jason Knight. He was awesome. He helped us all grow as a team. We got along with him really well. He drove us to be better. And we had some of our best successes. Some of my favorite times in my life were on that baseball field with that group of guys.
Okay.
And he was the main key for it because he did a good job of making the group the group.
I like that. 877-881-1053 for National Coaches Day. The best coaching you ever received or the best advice you've ever gotten in life. And see a couple early entries here from the 469. Shout out to Coach Benton, who is currently coaching at Byron Nelson for cross country. That was my sport back in the day. He always told me it was PR weather no matter the weather. And I really like that because my coaches were always chasing times. That's the goal in running. You're trying to beat your PR every single time. And cross country season, when does that start? Well, July, August. What is that here in Texas? When it's so 105 degrees outside. So practices were not fun, but they always had the right messaging to make you forget about it in the moment and just realize, hey, there is an end to this run. Let me make it there as quick as I can. Those were the best coaches. Just simplify it a little bit. Even if it is a little bit backhanded, you know, where it's like, all right, you jerk, you're not the one running. I am. You know, kind of like that. It's PR weather, you know. It's like,
it's a beautiful day for football, boys.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's 100 degrees outside. No, it's not. You are lying, but woo! I get the point. I get the point. But let's see elsewhere on the fan text. I like this from the 682. Again, simple coaching. Coach found out that I was a logical thinker. When I wasn't motivated, he would pull me to the side and say, whether you like it or not, you are here right now to play. You may as well play your best because you will be mad at yourself later for being lazy.
Love that line.
Yeah.
I love that line. If you give everything you got, then you can never say that you didn't do your best. And that's always the preparation part of it. Just real quick, out of all the coaches we've talked to, is Bochy your favorite? He's mine. He falls under my, like, I just had this great relationship. I felt like I was just so happy to be around Boch.
I could see that for sure on a lower tier just because we haven't talked.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Talked with him as much every time we talked to Ron Washington, I think, is delightful.
Yeah. Wash was always wonderful. Yeah.
I think for me that I got really lucky and I had a lot of great coaches growing up. And I had a ton of those that were actually educators, you know, that I didn't play their sport, but they were coach to me. Like in middle school, Coach Pringle. Yes, like the chip. He was the most wonderful human ever. Like married his high school sweetheart and had all of these great like stories and life advice. And I remember our last day in his leadership class in eighth grade, we're about to go to high school, right? And he kicked out all of the girls from the class. He said, I need to talk to the men here about something. And he told us about our responsibilities as men. He was like, y'all have the unique ability to, you know, change your life and change a woman's life, you know, just by the snap of a finger, by total accident. He was like, just be smart and realize that people are going to be depending on you for the rest of your life, this point forward when you become adults. People are always going to count on you. And he gave us such great advice. I did end up being on his hurdles team in eighth grade, so I did get to see the not so nice side of things when I wasn't doing my job right. But him and then this guy, I hope he's listening. I know he's a Tolo, Coach Mutt at Summit High School in Mansfield. He was on the Today Show just a few months ago because he handwrote a letter to every single one of his graduating seniors this past year, which was in the hundreds.
That is wild.
And he knew every single one of them. He had some sort of like personal thing to say to them in each note. It wasn't just, I'm proud of you, good luck on what's next. It was, hey, you're really great at doing this, and I hope you keep doing that as you venture forward and grow as an adult. Good luck at this school that you're going to. I know you really love this. And he put a dollar bill in every single note, too. Just as a small act of kindness. Yeah. And it was a, you know, hope you hold on to it or spend it well. You know, whatever you do. Most amazing man ever. He taught me more than I'll probably ever put to use in life just because he was such a wealth of information. He was my first leadership coach in high school, too. So learned a lot from him. Great to give him some love here, as he calls it, Summit love. Appreciate the interaction here. 877-881-1053 for National Coaches Day. The best coaching you got or the best life advice you've ever gotten. Now, guys, this is a little bit more on the negative side.
Oh, no.
This is how you don't celebrate winning a $1.3 million scratch-off. So, a British man... this is not a Florida man story. This is actually a British man story. His name is Adam Lopez, 39-year-old, who resides in a small village outside of Norwich, England.
Brother Mario.
That's where Paige is from.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And he had about $17 in his bank account this past July when he saw that number balloon by about, I don't know, 8,000,000% after getting a scratch-off millionaire maker lottery ticket that won for $1.344 million. According to local news outlets in the British lands, if you will, he ended up just quitting his job as a forklift driver, which, sure, you know, you want to leave that lifestyle. It's a brutal lifestyle. I get it. I know plenty of people who do the warehouse work and stuff. It's not for everybody. And when you get a bunch of money,
you double bird everyone.
Yeah, you just go ahead and say, I'm done and I'm going to go enjoy my life. Well, he enjoyed it a little bit too hard because he went on a three-month bender of partying nonstop single night. And he admitted, he said in an interview with the local news, that he had been burning the candle at both ends in the wake of his lottery win, which resulted in him waking up in an ambulance traveling to the hospital the emergency room. After partying too much, his body started to give out on him. And he said that it was a massive wake-up call here in the month of September is when this all went down. So he said 3 months of straight partying ended up giving him some sort of embolism and a blood clot that formed in his leg that made its way all the way to his lungs and left him unable to walk or breathe for a period of time. It seems like he's on the mend now, according to the local news, but yeah, straight partying after quitting his job, burning all of his money, ended up almost costing him his life.
This probably isn't the right question. Do you know if he has money left?
He did not say. Yeah, he did not say in this interview. Hopefully he had some sort of plan there. But hey, if you're partying every day, it doesn't seem like you planned out very much. So yeah, don't go on a 3 month bender. That's my advice.
Good advice.
It's my coaching.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where we visit the wacky world of Titans Cardinals. And every game is the Super Bowl for somebody. Next on The Fan.
Third and short. First down. DeMercado off to the races, 20-10, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where that was just the beginning of a crazy game.
Epic collapse.
Indeed. And we've got a follow-up from DeMercado, who had an insane quote, I think. Let's talk about it all as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
So
dip and rip it.
Jonathan Gannon, and this is probably, I guess, the right thing to say. He said about DeMarcado, who ended up dropping it at like the 1 foot line. It wasn't even the 1 yard line. He goes, it's never about one play. And that's true. And you've discussed that. But the picture making the rounds on the internet right now is DeMarcado with the ball in his hand at the 1 yard line about to score a touchdown. And it says 21-6. And the caption is the Cardinals lost this game 22-21. And if you look at it, you're like, that's impossible.
Because of that play.
And
like, that's what you think.
I mean, the Titans then got the ball, 80 yards, 6 plays, scored a touchdown.
You're right. It is the liars situation, conundrum or whatever it is, where you stand up and say, I'm lying right now. And everybody's like, hold on. Is he lying? That moment right there is exactly what you're dealing with.
It boggles the mind, but that probably wasn't even the weirdest play in that game. So let's go to the fourth quarter where I'm going to describe what's going to happen. Cam Ward is going to roll out, escape pressure, throw an interception that then gets fumbled and kind of kicked in advance into the end zone for what turns out to be a touchdown. Now, here's what it sounded like, cut number 19. It was as weird as it sounds.
Clock running inside of 5 minutes. Ward goes through his progressions. Everyone covered, slings it back. It's deflected and picked. Taylor Demerson, and then the football came out. Who recovers? Tennessee for the touchdown in a crazy sequence.
I like that he said crazy sequence, but also shout out to the color guy for just going, what? Because I thought that is how I would boil that play down.
I think Cam Ward would be like, let's keep it a buck. That was ass. Like he would, I'm pretty sure.
But we won.
Yeah, but we won. Like what a insane game. Kevin, we were talking earlier and we were discussing like the games that were the ones that were the surprises. That's got to be everybody's surprise. The outcome, A, that the Titans won.
True.
Is the surprise, but also the way that it just exploded.
It was a weird day yesterday because like the Saints were winless and they won. The Titans were winless and they won. The Bills were undefeated and they lost. The Eagles were undefeated and they lost. So that means
any given Sunday.
That is
or
true.
Monday, or Thursday.
Or sometimes dreams, Saturday. Yeah. And I guess also Friday. There are no more undefeated teams left in the NFL, but there is, of course, one remaining all-defeated team, and that is the New York Jets, who, by the way, made their own history yesterday. First team in NFL history to start 0-5 while also forcing zero turnovers.
Wow. They haven't forced a turnover this year?
Nope.
Okay, so yeah, you know what, guys? Everybody that texted in, yeah, but it's the Jets. You're right. You're right. My apologies.
But you know what's even weirder? There are 4 other teams in the AFC alone that have a worse point differential than the Jets. The Jets have won nothing and have not forced a turnover yet. First team in NFL history to start like this. And there are still 4 teams in the AFC alone that have a worse point differential.
They're still not the worst, is what you're saying. But at the same time, the worst.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
It is super confusing. But guess what? Confusing is going to be the name of the game today in Gridiron, of course, brought to you and powered by the Men's Tea Clinic. Let's talk about Mac Jones. Mac Jones saw a dead body before the game against the Rams. I thought at first that this was a joke story. However, it is not. He said he was on his hotel balcony and saw the body floating in the water. Police were contacted, and the 49ers saw investigators and the coroner's van pull into the area as they were getting on the team bus to go to the game.
He reported it?
I believe so.
Wow. Dude. This is, I'm sure there are people out there that have seen plenty of them.
Sure.
Or had these interactions too many times?
Unfortunately, yes.
I don't know that I have had. I'm trying to think.
A funeral is, I think, the only time.
I feel like if I had found a body, it would be very stuck in my brain of having that moment.
Right.
And that's got to live with him for a while. And then he goes out and wins a game.
He does.
Wow.
But like, players are superstitious, right?
What do you mean? Did he say that?
What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm just saying, this isn't going to start a weird cycle for him where he thinks he needs to see a dead body before games to win, right?
He loses the next game, and then he's like, I have to go Dexter somebody.
Okay.
And then he disappears during the meeting. You know, he's like, I got to go, and he disappears for a meeting for a couple hours and then comes back and acts like everything's normal.
Okay.
And then he has a good game. They win. And he's like, I have to do this every week.
The police are on their way, mofos.
I hope. I mean,
kind of like, isn't it Garth Brooks that they were making that? Where are the bodies? It was a joke by Tom Segura, and I'm going to leave it for there.
Okay.
Tolo's.
Sorry, I don't know that one. Christian Watson returned to practice for the Packers today, and also it looks like Xavier Worthy is going to be good to go for Monday Night Football. Let's go from that to the Panthers and the Dolphins and the unstoppable machine that is Rico Dowdle. Rico Dowdle had 206 yards rushing and a touchdown on 23 carries.
Why was he a backup?
That is a great question.
Why was he Hubbard's backup? That doesn't make any sense. Why wasn't he a Cowboy?
Well, and he's already said he's looking forward to this game against the Cowboys. But also,
buckle up
for the Dolphins. The Dolphins were ahead 17-0 in this game. And they lost. So it's another week and another depressing factoid for the Miami Dolphins. What are they going to do?
Change coaches pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're one wins over the Jets. But
yeah, and that's the thing that you have to really decide is, are you saving this season? Probably not.
No.
So if you are moving on from a coach and you're going to make that move, are you looking for the guy that's going to be the replacement for the future, or are you just saying, we just need an interim coach to make it through this season? How long do you hold on to that? Miami fans can't be happy with what they got right now. It's poor.
Now let's talk about Cincinnati. Are you prepared for the wildest football stat you'll hear all day?
I bet it's not.
I will take my chances
with that. I challenge you to try, sir.
All right. Did you know at one point during the Bengals game yesterday that Ja'Marr Chase was tied for the team lead in tackles with 3, having made each one of the tackles following a Jake Browning interception?
Dude,
what are your thoughts about that?
He should get fantasy points for that.
Oh, that is a great point.
Like, anybody that drafted Ja'Marr Chase, they probably drafted him high. And they were like, dude, this is going to be great. He catches everything. And then they're like, son of a bee, this Jake Browning guy. And you should definitely get tackle points.
And then you win by 0.5 because you're like, I got those bonus points on the tackle. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase did end up having a monster fantasy day.
Mm-hmm.
6 catches for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. But like, that game was not competitive past midway through the third, maybe. But yeah, Ja'Marr Chase had 3 tackles off of all 3 of the interceptions.
And they are, did I hear correctly that Zach Taylor said that they are considering other options now aside from Jake Browning?
See, I thought they had said they weren't considering getting a veteran.
Okay.
Maybe that was before the game.
I feel like that
game was
last week. And
then
now
they were like, never mind.
Yeah, I feel like they have to be open-minded about something like that, especially whenever you kind of look at this team and say, are we that close? You know, are we right in that window? And can we recover from this? Or keep ourselves afloat long enough to when Joe Burrow comes back in 4.5 months or whatever it is.
Look, Jake Browning has 6 touchdowns and 8 interceptions so far this season. And I believe all 3 of those touchdowns that he had yesterday were in the fourth quarter of a game that was over. Did that live up to the hype? That's a crazy statistic, right?
It's an amazing stat, right, Kevin. I can't believe I doubted you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's go from that to my goodness gracious.
Overreaction.
I didn't even say the thing yet. You know what? In fact, because you said that, I'm totally going to change it up.
Reality.
I was going to talk about the Sunday night game, but here's what I really want you to hear. Let's go ahead and go to cut number 22. Josh Allen had an overthrow in the end zone, and the ball went into the stands. And I'm going to let Mike Tirico take it away from here.
Catch there. He's gone. Milano. Milano's going to go. He's at row 10. He's at row 15. He might get a beer. Milano, where are you going, man? It's your moment. Milano row 40, led by Allen. He's going to take it the distance. Maybe it wasn't his seat. Maybe he doesn't want to be on TV. He's gone.
Or what I think actually happened was he knew they were going to come take the football back.
Yes.
And he was like, the hell you are. I'm taking this football and going on my way.
Yeah, what else? I mean, the rest of the game, you're going to lose. Like, you kind of knew what was happening there.
They did, though they made it very competitive.
And so, like, yeah, absolutely, you get that ball and you disappear. And the NFL, like, they might find you later, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do have long tentacles.
I hope they don't go chase down somebody because they took a football from a game.
I bet they do, man.
By the way, the Vikings put Ryan Kelly on injured reserve, further hurting their offensive line after a second concussion in 3 weeks. And then Amarion Hampton after the game yesterday, he had a walking boot on. Now, I know a lot of times that can be precautionary, but still a little concerning. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.